Yeah.
Are you about ready?
Sorry. One of these days I'll get a heater turn. I just gotta do that vent thing. That'd be fine. Especially if I did the vent thing, like right where you're sitting. Yeah. So the vent only came down on you. That'd be almost like perfect.
That'd be sweet.
Now, am I far enough to say, hey, welcome to episode...
Four!
Episode 4 of the Dead Zone the podcast with Rick and Brian. Brian and Rick. Brick. House.
We don't want to get sued, yeah.
Welcome to the Dead Zone podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop.
But yeah.
So what are we talking about this week? Month.
Month?
Year?
Year.
Welcome to 2020!
The distant future of 2020. Which reminds me, I need to get my new glasses.
I can't wait to get new glasses. I've got to wait until June.
I can put my fiance's glasses over the top of mine and I can see better.
Oh, you should probably get some better glasses.
A little bit.
Maybe that'd stop you from putting your Stuntbot or Strider up in the wrong spots.
No. That right. Vision is not a problem.
Vision isn't a thing?
No. It's the drive, the will to win.
The will to win.
Live to win. I don't want to get sued. I need to stop singing. So.
Singing, making references.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah, but it is episode four our Dead Zone, the new Dead Zone, the podcast.
Yep.
Starring Rick and Brian.
Brian and Rick.
And whichever order you choose to announce us in.
Right?
But we got a pretty solid episode ahead for us. Welcome to the new distant future year of 2020. That's 2020. For those keeping track.
I'm not keeping track.
No.
I got lost on the 2-0.
But, yeah, so we've got a couple of things to talk about in terms of updates for Dead Zone, Dreadball, Star Saga, and a couple of updates on our hobby section. We've got some really awesome stuff going on in the Fanatics page. Every one of them is always
cool stuff. Like, it's almost like, so Mantic brings out Kings of War 3rd Edition, and it's like everybody over here on the sci-fi was like, oh, no.
Nope.
No, we're more important. Yeah. And like everything has exploded. There's so many more, it just feels like more people are posting their photos and getting games in, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all three games, too.
Yeah.
Recently, I actually saw some people starting to post some stuff on Warpath.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they actually had the bases out, and I can't remember his name. I'll find that. While you do this next part, I'll find that.
Sure. But yeah.
Because that leads into hobby anyways.
Yeah. So we can dive right into hobby if we wanted to right out of the gate.
Start with hobby today?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's start with hobby.
Mix it up a little bit. We have kind of a list of things. The edge. That's what 2020 is all about, is living on the edge. You have a new decade.
Didn't that song come out in like the 90s?
I'm not going to sing it, because I don't want us to get sued.
I'm just saying, I think that got in the 90s.
I mean, Aerosmith is fun and all. But why don't we jump in with that? So one of the first things that I spotted while roaming the Dead Zone, the Fanatics page, was a post by Jared Fulcher, who did a great collection, a big photo album, basically, where he posted all sorts of Dead Zone terrain that he's put together. Now, we're not talking about just like, oh, I've got like the one little cube thing, which are, you know, fun.
Which is what most of mine is.
Which is most of mine, too. Makes it a little easier to travel.
Yes.
But he has some really awesome big building setups with detachable roofs.
Yeah, the detachable part is the really cool part. Yes. The fact that you have this big base. I mean, it's like a actual sci-fi base, but you can bring it apart to make smaller little buildings as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And of course, open up that flooring so you can actually see inside of it, which makes it almost in line with Star Saga.
Well, it's neat too. Like he was talking a little bit about it in the chat that followed, and it's magnetic paint. So he did a couple. I think he had to do a couple layers for it, but basically, then there's magnets on the stands that the lids just kind of go on top of.
That is
holds
awesome.
It all together. Who's home?
Nobody's no home. One's, I forgot to turn off the ringer.
Oh, mine just kind of buzzed too, but that's fine.
Oh, Discord.
We're not in Discord channels or anything, right? Oh, yeah, we are.
Oh, yeah, we totally
I
are.
I don't participate as much, but I'll try.
No, but Family Gamers 777, Coach has always got something going on. He's always got something going on over in Discord, and it's great because actually there's some photos that got posted over there too.
Yeah.
In the Family of Gamers 777 Discord channel.
Yeah. But no, if we'll be sharing a link to Jared's album that he made public. So we'll be posting that to show it to everybody. Really creative designs though. Like he really took the bits and bobs that normally just kind of go on the side of the buildings and use them
or get shuffled into the box
or just get lost in the box and really like put them to work. And he made some really creative and inspired buildings out of them.
Yeah.
And that I'd love to play Dead Zone on.
Yes. Yes, Jared, we want your scenery. I don't want to make it. I just want Jared's scenery.
Yeah. Very cool stuff.
So over on the Warpath Firefight Fanatic site, Patrick Kessing posted that he'd start working on his Forge Fathers. Now, he's actually using the bases. He doesn't have any of it painted, but it's just more of that, oh, Kings of War, you don't rule all of us. It's just more that sci-fi stuff is finally coming back into play. I mean, they released a couple months ago, they had the release for the FAQ for Firefight Warpath, which did clean up a little bit.
Oh, that's good.
And I think there's a chance for that game to have a second life.
Yeah.
I really think there is.
It definitely had a lot of potential when it came out. There was some discourse between Warpath, the huge battle game, and Firefight, that kind of mid-level, that's just kind of the step up from
Dead Zone.
But I think it's definitely something where, at this stage, a lot of people that have been playing like Dead Zone and stuff have quite a few models at their disposal, and I think would love that next little step up where it's bigger battles. We're doing.
Oh, you just want to play more Rebs. That's what it really is, isn't it?
I'd love to see Rebs in Warpath.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, like, they did it right. The Rules Committee and everybody for Dead Zone Escalation did it right with the 300 point. The 2-point.
The big maps.
Because, I mean, realistically, you're looking at that actual elevation.
No. Escalation?
Escalation.
Yeah.
Evolution.
Evolution.
There it is.
Yes.
Three strikes, you're out, man. The evolution of the game, because you go from that 2x2, so all of a sudden you're a 4x2.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
4x4. 4x4.
Why not 4x6?
Yeah.
So, give them time. I really think if we give them time, Firefight and Warpath will make a resurgence.
And that'd be awesome so that we can bring back all those really cool vehicles.
Yes.
Speaking of the Hornet. As he points to one.
Because we're not on camera.
Because this is radio.
I'm going to do that every It's just
probably
natural.
But,
so also over on the Star Saga Fanatics, James Kelly posted up his Erica and some security guards. I just really love it. It's just a simple blue.
Yeah.
That he did for the security guards, but it looks perfect. They really look like they're that security force for some kind of seedy company. So
it's a nice bright blue.
Yeah. So that's some of the stuff that's coming out in the last month over in the Fanatics. What about you? What have you been working on, Brian?
Oh, yeah, because I've actually taken time to do hobby stuff.
Like a lot,
which was crazy because December was a very busy, crazy month.
Yes, it was.
For all of us, I imagine. But, yeah, so I've been working on a Marauders list, as we kind of had challenged each other earlier to expand our Dead Zone horizons, start playing some teams that we haven't touched before. And I did dive in. We worked together, came together a couple of days just to kind of talk painting schemes and ideas using contrast paints.
They're great, aren't they?
There's
a lot of stuff you can do with those.
I gotta say, they're rock solid. And not to just use them flat out of the pot.
Yeah.
To basically have a base coat underneath it already in place, and that using it to really accentuate and highlight
and bring up those highlights. Depths. Yeah.
Yeah.
And shading.
Yeah. And it turned out really well because we got it done. Got it done fast. I only have, I think, a dozen Marauders on my team. We're playing 175 points.
175.
Which, as of right now, word on the street is that's what Adepticon's going
to
be.
That is what Adepticon's going to be, is 175 points. So
you've heard it here,
in
folks.
Between. My personal favorite is 150.
Mm.
It's always been 150. But people like to bring lots of stuff. People so that's like 200. At 200-point list, you can bring whatever you want. Literally whatever you want is going to be on that list.
Yeah.
That 175 gives you that.
It's kind of a good sweet spot for people.
Yeah. Where we've had a lot of fun with it.
Yes. Yeah. It's been a blast. And I have now finished painting not only just a bunch of commandos. I used the Zeon paint scheme from Mobile Suit Gundam for fans over at Mobile Armor Radio my talking there on all sorts of this kind of stuff. Finally have something to show in that. But it included a grunt bot as well, which I schemed up to be in the paint scheme of a dome, which is one of the mobile suits in Gundam. And I had a green-on-green scheme for my Marauders.
Yeah.
But I think it was like a Warp Lightning green, and it might have been an Orc green.
I think it's Orc green.
Yeah.
Because you picked up the other green. Orc Flesh.
Orc Flesh. So.
Isn't that convenient that my paints
are right there? Yeah, your paints are right over there, off camera, off the microphone.
Pointing again.
But it worked really well. Like I had a Ministratum green,
yeah,
I think was the other one. And that worked really well for like the kind of olive drab that their uniforms are in the show, and while still making sure that the green of the skin really stood out.
Yeah.
And
it's important to have that contrast.
I see what you did there.
Wow.
It's a new year, starting off strong. But I was really happy with how it turned out. I'll be posting some pictures of the guys I put together. And yeah, so it was also really fun because like color schemes inspired by shows like Gundam, which in part were,
allows
you to mix your colors.
They give you that different, you wouldn't normally put those two colors together.
Cause it was green and reds and yellows, strong ones too.
Very strong. And
then purples and blacks and reds, it was a lot of different colors that really worked well together at the end of the day.
Yeah, which they looked great on the table too.
Oh, thanks.
Just for the record. So I mean, that's the other thing kind of going on. I mean, you're building them. I have created my Maison Labs, and obviously for my hobby, I was doing that.
But, how did that go for you, Rick?
Well, it was different. But we had the chance. We have a tournament coming up in January.
Tomorrow.
As of this recording.
So by the time it's posted, you'll know the results.
So you could just skip the next 3 minutes. Or not. But the fact that we got to get in and playtest our lists. For me.
Against each other.
That game kind of ranks right up there.
Yeah.
That's one of our better games. I mean, that was a long game at 175 points. It should not have taken that long.
No, it was, and it was wicked close. It came down to the last
few
shots. It's
so funny because it was, what, 14 to 18?
Yes, at the end of it.
Yeah, but it was...
Because you were able to capture four.
Yeah, I got the four from the two.
And I wasn't able to prevent you from getting...
one.
Well, getting a two-point victory point and a kill, which would have given me another two. So I could have got four.
Yeah, that was like, such a...
It was and so it was, close. It was,
it was funny because, like, at the beginning of that game, I'm like, oh my god, I'm toast. You did a couple things and I'm like, nope, I'm done. And all of a sudden it kind of flipped. Yeah. But then flipped again.
We had some pretty crazy rolls.
Yes. So anyways, hobby.
Hobby.
Yeah, so I painted up 175 points of Maison. Mm-hmm. I tried a new, kind of a new look that I wanted to check out. That black with, instead of doing black highlights or that, gray or blue highlight on black, I did reds and pinks.
Yeah.
It looks sharp. And I really liked how it turned out. I did it on my Strider, I did it on the Marines, and I did it on the Crest of War.
Yeah.
Because I'm running two Crest of Wars. See, what else did I do for a hobby? But I did some scenery.
Yep.
Not as cool as Jared's, but it goes to that, looking at Jared's stuff, it was that I have a whole bunch of the single
pieces
or two cubes that you can put together and put them and build something.
Yeah.
In all my scenery, I didn't have any big buildings.
Mm-hmm.
I decided I wanted a couple big buildings. So I built a big building. That was pretty fun. That was kind of a... What did that take me? Two or 3 hours?
Okay.
Because I had to clip everything off of the sprues because they were still on there. Yeah, I think that's it for hobby for me.
You tried out an interesting paint thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so my kids, 10 and 13, of course they watch YouTube channels and watch the most random, obnoxious shows. Like, where these guys take a kiddie pool and make slime in it. Really? Why?
So Why not? It's 2020.
Yeah, but this was like 2018. So, in one of the videos, it's called hydro dipping. So you take just a bucket of water, and you spray paint the top of the water. And then whatever you want to paint, you dip into that water, let it sit in there for a few seconds, and then pull it out and let it dry. I don't have a lot of spray paint colors. And most of my stuff is the small acrylics for the models. So I grabbed what I had, and I was like, eh, why not? And I had this piece of Dead Zone scenery that I was kind of like, eh? Because it doesn't really fit in anything, because I put the ladder on there, but I glued it all together, and it's got the side piece. And it feels like, eh. So I was like, eh, it won't hurt anything, and I dipped it. So it has blue, purple, gold, and I think a red or something in there.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's something.
It's hiding over there. We can't find it.
Pointing over there.
Yeah, it's over there.
Off camera.
You guys can see it.
So yeah, I dipped it in there, pulled it out, and let it dry. And it actually looked really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, Star Wars. So I'm checking out Star Wars Legion. I've been doing some work on there, and I painted Boba Fett. I was really proud of that one.
Oh, yeah.
Like, cool. Of all the models I've painted, Boba Fett is probably the most profound model for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also been watching a lot of the Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels, and Sabine is also one of my favorite colors. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I pulled that out...
Characters.
As soon as I pulled that out, I sat it down and looked at it and said, wow, Sabine would have painted that.
Yeah.
Because it looks so wicked.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what I've been doing hobby-wise.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. It's good. A little diversity.
Yeah. So...
the spice of life.
Christmas has come and gone.
Yes, it has.
It's now 2020. Did you keep up on the Mantic blog at all?
Sadly, no. I was pretty busy, but I know they were posting a whole lot.
They were posting a lot, and a lot of their stuff, of course, Kings of War 3.0 is out.
Mm-hmm.
obviously for a company, I mean, they have a big push for the fantasy stuff, which I understand that.
Oh, yeah.
But they slipped in a little blog, and they talked about some potential things coming to Dead Zone. Matsudon. Mm. Matsudon, who are in Dreadball, right?
Yes.
They're this kind of big... I don't want to call them fat, because I'm fat. they're a husky, like lizards, right?
They're big guys, yeah.
But, so it kind of caught me off guard, because when I think about them, lizards, I don't think Asian. Mm. That samurai,
warrior,
and all that. But that's what the Matsudon are over in Dreadball. Mm-hmm. So apparently, we're getting Matsudon in Dead Zone.
That should be really interesting.
On top of that, and I can't remember exactly what the wording is. You guys need to go back and read the blog on it, because they make a reference to it. Getting a Strider-type mech for the Asterians.
That'll be an interesting change, because they're kind of the only one without a big mech right now.
Yeah. There's some contention in me for that.
Yeah. Which is kind of understandable. It's
the reason why it's kind of caught me off guard is they're already robots.
Yeah, yeah.
What do they need another robot for? But anyway, so we do know through their not-so-subtle hints that we do have a couple new things coming this year for Dead Zone.
Sweet.
Now, I'm not sure how I feel about Matsudon being a faction.
It'll be interesting to see them come together.
Which, this is kind of one of those twofold things that we talked about a little bit. Like, so what other teams in Dreadball do you think would make a good faction for Dead Zone?
Well, it's
not a spider.
Like, there's a couple in there that are already kind of in Dead Zone, obviously, with the Rebs team.
Yeah, the Rebs.
Like just to throw them out there, because, like, the Rebs Dreadball team has a couple other races in it that would be really cool to have Dead Zone figures.
So, actually, that's... you brought up the Rebs. Big surprise. Yeah. That's actually one of the things that I'm actually kind of excited to see, this Matsudon team.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not... Oh, here's just another alien for the Rebs.
Mm-hmm.
Which, okay, you're Rebs. You can have any alien you want.
Adding more is what.
Well, and but that's cool though, because you look at like the cell leader,
mm-hmm.
and like the sniper or the troop. Mm-hmm. They're generic names now,
yeah.
So you could make that any. There's how many teams in Dreadball?
I think there's 32.
32. So 31. There are 31 other teams that you could turn your Reb troop or sniper or whatnot into. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I'm more wondering, what about actual factions?
Sure, sure. So, like, ones that are not just additions to Rebs.
Trontech.
Yeah, yeah.
They're humans. Marauders. Green Moon Smackers. They're the Marauders. I mean, literally, it's Orcs and Goblins. But that's Marauders. So...
Yep.
That one's out.
Yep.
Midgard Delvers.
So we got Forge Fathers. Forge
Fathers. There's like two Forge Father teams, right?
Yes.
There's two. There's the Brocker one.
Yeah, the Brocker base.
the Skitter Sneaks.
The Skitter Sneaks.
Which are Veermen, so they already have a faction.
Yeah.
The Void Sirens. Now, I think these girls are pretty cool.
Yeah.
But again, they're just a human team. Mm-hmm. So that kind of falls in the category of like the GCPS. So they wouldn't be their own.
An all-female faction would be kind of interesting, though.
The Pelgar Mystics.
So that's the Jude one.
Yeah, that's the Jude one. So the Reb team...
We have the Jude one medic.
Yeah, you have the Jude one medic on the Rebs.
Yeah.
And but Wrath. Do you really think... Oh, yeah.
Is
Wrath
a
is a Jude one. But Judwan as a faction?
Judwan would be a tough faction because one of their big lore things is that they're pacifists.
That would kind of make it for a hard play.
Yeah.
I mean.
The medic can't shoot anybody. I don't think he has a fight or a shoot stat.
I don't think he does either.
which means he could throw a grenade on a 7,
I think. Hey, there's my chair squeaking.
Yep. There are a couple of robot teams.
I was just looking at the Chromium Chargers.
Yeah, the Chromium Chargers.
Metabot team. So
they have like a transforming team. I think they...
Are they ones of the ones that can actually... Yep, transform.
Yep.
4+ test. Pass. The player immediately changes roles. Jacks may transform into guards or strikers. Guards and strikers may only transform into jacks. The action ends. The pass doubles. As above, in addition, the player may make an immediate run, throw, slam, steal, or transform free action.
Nice.
Really?
So they're like little transformers.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I could go see them
as,
with that.
As being an addition to... Because I don't think they're really a race. I think they're...
No, they're robots. Because there's two robot teams, though, isn't there?
Yes.
Yeah. So, obviously, at this point, we're just going through the book.
We'll just go through the book real quick. It won't take long, guys.
No.
But it's inspired.
So, them being robots... Mm-hmm. I don't really see...
It'd be a little tough sell of...
I can see that. I can see them as the Volt Chasers.
Mm.
Where the Volt Chasers is that sub-faction of...
Veermen.
The Veermen. I could see them being like a sub-faction of like GCPS or Maison Labs.
In the same way, like you think of like Star Wars and like in the Clone Wars, you had the droids. Like the Trade Federation was a bunch of different robots.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's possible. I mean, you already have the Asterians.
Well, the Asterians are like actual people projecting themselves into a construct body, which I can see your point.
Yeah.
I just like...
Because if you did all robots, you wouldn't necessarily have a construct rule. Because they're not constructs. Well, they'd be living robots. Yeah, ooh. Transformers.
Cybertronians.
So, yeah. Anyways, next team. The Locust City Chiefs, the Zor, which is what I've been playing in our...
Dragball League.
Suck, by the way. But so you got some bugs.
Yeah.
I think a bug faction would be kind of fun.
A bug faction would be kind of neat. Like, the Nameless are kind of the closest we have to that now.
Yeah. The,
but they're still very different. They're
so
very
you have the Nameless coming up from the deeps and kind of have that Cthulhu-esque look to them.
Yeah.
These are like Zor are bugs.
Hornets and
the wasps and...
And all sorts of big stag beetles and stuff like that. Can you imagine like a stag beetle weapons platform?
Oh, man.
Right?
Okay, I need to go watch Starship Troopers now. Okay. I swear to God, I'm going to move. I'm going to squirt shoot this chair. Terraton team. We don't need that because the Rebs have Terratons and the Plague have Terratons.
It would be a neat sub-faction.
Of
all Terratons. Because in Dreadball, it's not... Like the big Terratons.
Isn't it the big ones are female?
The big ones are female. And so
the Dreadball team is all males.
Okay. Yeah. So it would be neat to have that as kind of a sub-faction.
That'd be kind
of
cool. Now, me personally, I think these guys would be a blast as a faction. The Z's. A bunch of little tiny monkeys running all over a Dead Zone map. I think that would be great. But they're also in the Rebs.
They are also in the Rebs.
You have
Z Scavengers,
which don't really do a lot except for carry a lot of stuff.
They carry a lot of stuff.
Which is funny, because they're like the smallest model.
Right? They have a lot of pockets, I guess.
Yeah. The Nameless, they have...
Yep, Nameless has a faction, or a Dreadball team.
Asterians. Well, they're obvious. So it's funny, because... So, Asterians. The bulk of the Asterians are the marionettes, and their... what's the other one?
Cyphers.
They're that construct that they force project their bodies into and they actually control them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think myself of how an Asterian would look.
Yeah.
But you go over and you look at the Asterian team in...
And then Dreadball. And you get the normal Asterians.
Kind of, yeah.
Kalishi are separate. They do have their own
Kalishi
team.
Yeah, Kalishi are...
And they're different peoples in this respect. But,
I don't know. They kind of have... They remind me of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Nemesis.
Yeah.
They kind of have that same look of the wider brow and the...
Shinzan.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Hey, look, Rebs team.
The Rebs.
Now, so hold on.
So there's on only the revs. There's three.
Because there's the Rin.
There's the Rin. There's a Sorak.
The Sorak.
And then the captain, Galdo, is one of the winged guys. He's
like a frog dude.
He's one of the winged guys.
Oh, that's the winged dude.
Yeah.
So the frog dude, that's the
Ralorats.
Ralorats.
And the other jack there.
Galians, which, now those could be fun.
Those could be like big old charging weapon platforms. They're like centaurs.
Yeah, centaurs, and put a Z on the back of him.
Yeah. I do need to make a weapons team. God, that'd be fun. Is that.
So then you have the sphere.
The sphere.
Which, I think with escalation, the sphere have almost become an unwritten sub-faction.
Yeah.
Because you have somebody that can be a sphere leader. Yep. You have fear troops.
Yep.
And you have fear specialists.
Yep.
Plus you have the sphere on a mono
and bike. Sphere on the mono wheel.
So, I mean, they're kind of like already a sub-faction. Yeah.
And really, like, it'd be fun to sub in. So there's the giant monkeys on the Rebs team now.
Yep.
There's the giant shark in yes. Dreadball.
Speaking of, I'm buying more Dreadball.
Yeah. which I actually mocked one up to be a Terraton back in the day.
Yep, that was a while ago.
When I made an all-sphere Dead Zone
team. Yep, all-sphere Dead Zone, and your Terraton was the shark. I remember that.
Yeah. I still got him.
But yeah, they're kind of like already a sub-faction.
They're about to
just a sub-faction, not spoken sub-faction, I guess.
Yeah, people like the sphere because they're awesome. Like, they're cool looking, and they shoot.
They are cool looking. I so want that Dreadball team leader. anyways, I regress. So the next one, we got Hobgoblins.
Yep.
Now, Coach over at Family of 777 has also created a fan list for Georgie.
Oh, yeah.
Which has
Hobgoblins
in it.
That's neat.
So, I mean, no, they don't have a list necessarily that they would be a part of, but yeah. I would think of Hobgoblins as like a sub-faction for the Marauders.
Yeah, I could see that too.
Hey, look, the Brockers team.
The Brocker team.
We already know about them.
Yep.
And then the Convicts. The Convicts are kind of like a Reb thing.
They're kind of like a Reb thing. They wouldn't fit very well in a Dead Zone environment. No. Without just being like conscripted into the GCPS
I mean, really, this would almost be like a Merc team.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we already have team. The Mercs.
Because, I mean, the Convict team is made up of humans and...
Gorons.
Or Grogans.
Is that all? Grogan.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And, I think it's just humans
and
Grogans. Yeah,
it's just humans and the Grogans.
But, yeah. I think one of their is an orc, I think, or a marauder.
They have some other races in there. Because, like, if you look at their injured player, that's not human. Look at his head.
He's an ugly human.
Well, it's not saying much. So next we got the Khaleesi.
The Khaleesi.
They are, they're Khaleesi, they're so they're already in Dead Zone. Ada Lorna.
So these are like...
So these guys would be awesome as a faction in Dead Zone.
So they're very ethereal. They're like ghostly matter and stuff. And they teleport.
God, that's just what needed, more teleporting in Dead Zone. Yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah, I think so. It would be neat to not have the Dead Zone be the only thing that has it.
So this would be kind of like that faction that would be like really good at like, it doesn't matter what the scenery is.
Yeah.
Just morph through the wall.
A lot of psychic stuff, no line of sight.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really, really go to town on that.
Well, that could be fun.
Yeah.
So then we have the Crystallin team.
Which are also really neat looking.
Which are some big rocks.
Rock people.
Yeah. I'm not sure how I'd do that as...
So they could have the same kind of weapons like Nameless do with the shards things going on.
Yeah.
They've got a real shards. Crystalline body to them.
So your lore in Dreadball.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read a lot of it.
There's
but, like, reading the first line on this team, So obviously they already have a faction hatred in Dead Zone. I mean,
oh yeah,
particular interest to the Forge Fathers of what they actually are, because they mine a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be different.
It'd be interesting to have, like, that'd be a neat mercenary or something like that for the Forge Fathers as like a captured one or something. Oh. Like that. It'd be kind of neat.
Well, you look at, so the Forge Fathers, they're the reason why the Enforcers exist, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the Enforcers are genetically modified.
Yep.
But their armor was created by the Forge Fathers. Mm-hmm. Now, their armor isn't necessarily superior to anything, because, well, the Forge Fathers aren't going to make their enemy something that's better than theirs.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you take something like one of these rock formations, and the Forge Father make kind of like a harness or something for it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh!
Or super armor.
How about that for an engineer? That's his new war machine. That's awesome. Nope.
The Pseudochon.
Pseudochon. So that falls into a word that I won't say.
Yeah.
Because aren't these like the mystics or something?
Yeah, they're mystical little creatures. They actually have come in different sizes.
Okay.
I think.
Wait, they're all jacks.
Yeah, it's been kind of...
Backflip?
Yeah. They're neat. They're kind of like little Yodas in a way. In a weird way. but like are floating or flying or something like that.
All right.
I haven't explored them too much myself, but... They're neat and different.
They're a religious culture that wanders the many planets of the galactic co-conspiracy, fear, and far beyond. Huh.
So like Pseudochon and Judwan.
Yeah.
Team up kind of faction could be kind of neat.
These guys could stop the pacifism.
Or team up on with the Matsudan.
Yeah.
Matsudan, Pseudochon.
I mean, I know that there's another word in there, but it's beyond me. All right, so this is another team that I would like to see.
Yes.
As a faction, the Chorus.
Yeah.
I love the they're kind of like the Ren Nomad.
Yeah.
With the dual arms, but these are more bug-like, but they have the extra legs.
Four legs, yeah.
Yeah, I would love to see these guys.
They're a lot like, if you haven't seen them at all, they look a lot like the main monsters in Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah.
The ones that attack Wakanda.
Yeah.
And spoilers.
Oh, and these are the guys with wormholes.
Yes.
So that would be awesome to see wormholes in Dead Zone?
Isn't the Krasivar related to them in some way?
I think so. Yeah, the Krasivar is related to them.
The lore is fun and great. Like, if you really want to dive into a bit more of the Warpath lore, check out Dreadball, because there's a lot of fluff
now
for the different races that are
so on. Obviously right now I'm looking at the Dreadball Collector's Edition.
Yep.
Is there any place else that you can get lore from a Dreadball perspective?
So they do have, I think, one short story available on the digital store.
Okay.
I haven't gone through a lot of it yet, but the old
the seasons season, or whatever it was.
Yeah, the season books all kind of came with a couple of teams and would occasionally have some fluff in them.
Okay.
So if you can track down those, I think they even have them on digital, pretty cheap. So the first edition, I should clarify, first edition, the season books, the rules are no longer, useful necessarily, because there is a whole lot of balance stuff that got crazy by the end of it.
Yeah.
But, they do, have a couple of things in terms of fluff and,
Yeah, that would be, so they're, what's the author, the publishing company? Because isn't that coming out soon? Because it is 2020.
Winged Hussars Publishing.
Yeah, they have a Dreadball novel coming out, don't they?
Yes.
Isn't that coming out, like, in the next couple?
I think it's supposed to be in the next...
I was pretty sure it was before Adepticon.
Probably. I remember it being announced at Adepticon... Not last year, but the year before.
Hopefully we'll find out. We'll find out some stuff
out. We will some investigating journalism.
Yay!
And record it on the radio.
The Neobots.
The Neobots.
Eh.
Crazy mad scientists put them together.
Yeah.
like There's a reason why mine are painted like the robots from Mega Man, because it really sounds yeah. like Dr. Wily putting these yeah. things together.
So, I mean,
they're kind of neat looking.
So I think like these guys, the mm-hmm. robots, the two robot factions, well, I think that would be a fun faction.
This is kind of the third one.
Actually. Yeah, because there's three teams. There's another one?
There's another robot faction.
Yeah, there's three of them, right? Yeah. Or is there four?
There was the Chromium, these guys,
and then the robots little, with the wheels and stuff that you could completely the little, change around.
Johnny Five. ones. there's a blast from the past.
Yeah,
in the year 2020.
The Yendage.
They could be an interesting sub faction.
They're for kind of that revs. Forest.
Because they've got a leader, they've got a living legend, and they've got a troop as of right now. They don't have any specialists, but
I don't know. Don't the first line, the corporate propaganda, which just for the record is complete lies. Okay. Seems to take pleasure in painting the Yendage as rebel fighters. So it's almost like, at least from a Dreadball perspective, they're already labeled as rebels.
They're already kind of lumped in there. Like the big thing is that the GCPS like has taken over their planet. And it's like half of it has been completely harvested. It's a big like Kashyyyk, you know, planet of trees and stuff. And yeah, it's going great for them.
So the next, obviously, we have the Mastodon, which Mastodon. We know nothing's released yet, but we know that they're coming as a faction for Dead Zone.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see what Mantic does with that.
Yeah, I'm really thrilled to see more of these guys.
See.
And to see if how much like of their kind of code that they incorporate into yeah. the Dead Zone. So like for instance in Dreadball, they're not allowed to do penalties.
Correct. They're honorable.
They're honorable. So,
which
so they don't hit people when they're down.
Yeah, but the Mercs list. There's a Mastodon
the
in there.
Yeah, the big red guy.
And he has honorable. I don't remember what it does.
I'm going to try and find it quick without making too much noise.
But the fact is, no, that's the Ford Father dude.
Hey, there's one of those pseudo channels, I think.
Yeah, this guy right here.
Yep. All right, so he's got honorable, which...
So what is honorable?
What is honorable in terms of Dead Zone? This is great.
Because in Dreadball, it means you can't hit somebody when they're down.
Yep. Well, it's one of the things they can't do.
What else can't they do?
Well, they can't sucker punch. Like, they cannot do penalties.
Whether it is a warrior code, a religious teaching, or simple programming, players with this ability will not intentionally commit a foul. So they can't do any of it.
Right. All right, here we go. A model with this ability, so this is Dead Zone, may not target a pinned model during a fight or shoot action. In addition, an enemy model attempting to break away from an enemy model will automatically pass its survival. If another model is in the same cube and doesn't have honorable special ability, it may prevent breakaways as normal.
I don't know what's more amusing to me. On a personal level, is the fact that I'm reading the Dreadball rule for it and you're reading the Dead Zone rule for it.
What a change.
Or the fact that it's pretty similar.
Yeah.
I mean, that...
That's how I would extrapolate
think,
that.
So
they
wow.
They're like,
so if the Mastodon as a faction have like that honorable
as their through line,
they won't have any suppressive fire weapons.
They won't have any suppressing fire, but like one of the things in Dreadball, they're really good at shooting things, like throwing the ball.
Yeah, they are good at throwing that stupid ball, aren't they?
So they could have a bunch of blast weapons.
Oh boy, blast weapons.
or high accuracy is what I'm kind of predicting. I have no idea what their list looks like.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously, we'll know more down the
road. As the story develops.
Stick with us.
Dead Zone Podcast.
I think they're going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be interesting to see, because I would assume that Mantic's going to release new models for them.
Yeah.
They'll probably do some resin
yeah.
cast models, very specific. So it'll probably be more on the more expensive team list, but I think it'll be worth it.
Yeah. Because I know, like, they're not huge on like wanting to cannibalize their Dreadball teams.
Correct.
Or Dead Zone.
And there, I don't think...
Friend of the show, Jeff Burbage, would have words to say about
he's probably going to have words to say about this whole episode. Yeah, because the Macedon Dreadball team doesn't have, like, with the Volt Chasers.
Yeah.
When they released, you could actually, if you did the hot water dip, you could actually pull their arms off.
Oh, really?
Of where they're glued in. Because they... Because
they were pre-glued?
Yeah, they were pre-glued. Guys look like they're... What is it called? Monocast, where it's all one?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, these guys kind of look like they're all one. So it'd be kind of hard to make that.
Without
so I would assume,
stuff on it.
Yeah, I would assume that we're gonna get something new.
Yes,
which is awesome.
New is good.
So that one's confirmed. We know that one's coming. Cyborgs.
Cyborgs.
So this is kind of that. Doctor runs into the Rebs and says, "No, yeah, I'm gonna make you all robots."
Yeah, the flesh is weak,
man. So technically speaking, then you're looking at, you actually are looking at four.
If you count cyborgs as robots,
well,
that's a whole other debate that we can have on Mobile Armor Radio.
There you go. Toss that one over there. But realistically, so you have four factions that could potentially. Four teams that could potentially be a faction on themselves.
Unto themselves.
And you could do, if you wanted to be crazy, you have all those robots as like your troops and stuff.
Yep.
And then you have your cyborgs as your specialists.
Yeah.
There.
Why not?
See?
And the cyborgs are made up of the body parts of other...
Everything.
Of other races. So there's a Khaleeshi. I think there's a Judwan. There's a couple of humans.
Judwan, Khaleeshi, human, orc, nameless.
Yep.
And so I know didn't last season for Jeff's league, wasn't he using them? Or no, he brought them to Adepticon last year.
Someone brought them to Adepticon.
But I've seen Jeff work on his.
Yeah, Jeff had a solid cyborg team. I think Andrew W. had one too.
Yeah. And they have all kinds of stuff they could do.
And now there's the mutant team, which is really just kind of the plague with...
They really are just a plague.
...specific things that they can swap out.
Maybe that's what I was thinking about with
Jeff.
Yeah,
Jeff's new stuff was mutants.
Yeah, the mutants. Okay, that's what that was. So yeah, they're plague. They have a list. Even though, I mean, that Zor... I know it's a plague, but kind of makes me want to... Like, make some Zor plague. Mecha Knight team.
So
robots.
These are the Johnny Fives.
The Johnny Fives and the Kirbys.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Kirby played Dreadball.
Could be.
Huh.
I mean, Blaine does.
That's true.
He also referees it
from
time to time.
And then, of course, the Renton Rejects.
Yeah, the...
Which are kind of... I would put these guys as Rebs.
Yeah.
Because you have Yindage, you have the Larox, whatever that is.
Yep. I think there's two Zs in there.
Yeah. The Pusk?
There's some crazy aliens in there.
Yeah. So, and then you get into the MVPs...
Which is a whole other bag of worms.
Well, yeah. I think...
Because there's one for, like, each race, and then for captains, and then you have other MVPs who are different species altogether in some cases. I don't think they specify with some of the non-standard guys in there. They're just like, hey, this is a crazy alien-looking guy.
Yeah. And even these have, there's a little lore on each of these, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, I get caught up.
Sluggo.
Wait, I should put that down.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I think it would be cool to see, over the next couple years, some more Dreadball team. Sorry, Jeff. Kind of make their way into Dead Zone. Because there's so much.
There's so much there.
There's a lot there, and the lore is already there.
It's already established that this exists.
So it's almost like ready-made stuff.
Yeah.
So we have that. We have the Asterion Strider. So obviously, personally, not a fan of the whole idea of the Asterians having a Strider. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, you know, the fact that they don't have one presently, when a lot of the other races do, does kind of stand out. I see your point.
Platforms.
They do have the weapon platforms.
They have the weapon platforms, the shield platforms.
Yeah.
The Khaleesi are ridiculous.
They got a lot of stuff going for them. So, like, for me, like, the Asterians also, like, have dipped their lore into that kind of warrior culture. And there's a...
Sure.
There's a certain extent of, like, you know, my armor is me sort of thing going on. So, what I think would be cool, and kind of within that same breath and vein of that lore, is, okay, you guys have a big mech, but maybe it's melee only.
Oh, that'd be cool.
It would be, like, one of the only ones.
It would, because... Apart from
the Iron Ancestor with that specific pattern. Yeah. But that would be, I think, the big thing is, like, kind of tapping into that warrior culture. Is like, okay, I'm in the biggest, baddest suit, so my handicap is...
Yeah, because, I mean, the thing for me, the whole concept of... Obviously, I haven't played a lot of Asterians.
Mm-hmm.
I played, I think, a total of 2 games with Asterians. Mostly because somehow I ended up with this pure hatred of Asterians, which is not because they're a bad team.
No.
It's... I don't know, it just... Went from a joke to becoming a thing.
Yeah.
But I played Dom with the Asterians.
Mm-hmm. Friend of the show, Dom.
I enjoyed the... I can shoot a lot, but I'm super weak.
Mm-hmm.
That glass cannon feel to them.
Yeah.
So I...
Something like that.
It would almost be like the opposite of a glass cannon, because it's the tank.
Yeah.
Almost like the video games.
Mm-hmm.
RPGs.
Yeah.
You have your tank, DPS, and healer.
Mm-hmm.
I could see where you're going with a warrior like that, with a melee-only Strider.
Mm-hmm.
I could almost get behind that. I still don't think they should have one. Because for me, it's that individuality between the factions.
Yeah. It does differentiate them.
And luckily, like, with Escalation, adding some of the Dreadball stuff into things has... made some of those factions have that very unique piece.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the first thing that comes to mind for me is the Krastivores.
Yeah.
So playing Maison Labs, so I'm not playing them like GCPS. I'm not playing them like the Plague. I have Krastivores. Nobody else does. And like your Rebs, you have that uniqueness with the Rebs because you're all over the place.
Yep.
And like the Enforcers, they're all heavily armored. Every faction has that one thing that defines them. And I'm afraid when you start giving every faction the same things, it kind of...
muddies the water.
Yeah, it muddies the water. And it's like, okay, it doesn't really matter what...
Feels a little less unique.
Like, yes. Like, it feels like it doesn't matter what you're playing, because the list is the same.
Yeah. I can see that.
But, on the upside... The fact that we're getting an Asterion Strider and we're getting a Matsudan team as a faction, however that looks, going forward, we have a lot of options.
Yeah.
To keep growing that lore and that piece of Dead Zone, which I think can really help grow into the Firefight and Warpath well. So, my next question for you. This Adam Kinney.
Yes.
Another friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Adam Kinney.
And one of our Dead Zone players locally for us. He brought it up on Facebook. How do you feel about the idea of a third edition? Do you think Dead Zone needs a third edition right now?
Huh.
Because to be fair, that got brought up today, too.
Yeah, while we were
playtesting.
Playtesting. It is one of those things where, like, the rules feel like they're... There's only, like, a few things that are still kind of quirky about a few things. Like, nothing really comes to mind, which is unfortunate.
Jump does.
The jumping.
Agile.
Agile.
The rule agile.
The rule agile has kind of... it lost a lot of its meaning.
Yeah.
And usefulness. It's such a weird situation that comes into play. But like, I really liked how the game has evolved. It still has a really solid core to it.
Yes.
And it's still, you know, it still has the elegance in its simplicity of design that, you know, really drew me to the game in the first place. It hasn't become overcrowded with a whole bunch of extra stuff.
The extra rules.
Extra rules and stuff like that. It's still very, very lean in what it's sought to do and what it's, when it does. So I could see people wanting consolidation of the kind of the core rules with all the FAQs and stuff being brought in into one kind of collection. But with the expansions, like, one of the things they do really nice in Dead Zone each time is that you get the full lists with all the updates.
You get all the lists with all the updates, but you also get any new rules that the rules committee has come up with that are for these new factions. Mm-hmm. It's all there. It's almost like it would be great on the next book. Like, I'm hoping that we get another book like Escalation and Outbreak. Obviously, with it only being listed that Matsudan and Astarion Strider, I'm not sure if we're going to get a new book this year.
Yeah, that's possible. But the other thing I would say when comparing it to, like, a third edition Kings of War came with a huge amount of lore.
I loved that.
And I think...
Could you imagine having that much lore in Dead Zone?
That would be so much fun. Like, I know there's that lore book, and I occasionally...
It's a good book. It's a good book.
It's still pretty relevant.
But
there's still a lot of stuff that doesn't exist yet, which, in a way, like, it is kind of a neat creative space that can get fleshed out by either fans or you know, the... I know Manzik has, and the Winged Hussars have talked about that they have an open call for people that want to write for them.
I'd love to write, except for I'm not very good at it.
I would love to if I had more time.
I'm much better at telling the story than I am about writing it.
But I think a huge injection of fluff would be awesome. I think a campaign, like a really solid... not necessarily revamped to the campaign system that they had.
There are some stuff in the campaign that does need to be...
Updated.
To
I mean...
Because, I mean, it's as simple as, like, little things like the weapons team.
Mm-hmm.
When the campaign list came for second edition with the second edition core rules, mm-hmm. there it's not the same anymore.
Yeah.
So that campaign rule is kind of broken.
Yeah. So I think circle back to the campaign. I really loved the stuff that came out in those earlier expansions with things like the single player campaign.
Oh yeah,
with the
Nexus Psi.
Artificial stupid zombies.
Yep.
Like, which is kind of just a fun adaptation of their Walking Dead rules into a Dead Zone space.
But it works.
I mean. I'd like to... It'd be really neat to see that kind of evolution.
Almost like a campaign book instead of... like a Clash of Kings.
Like a Clash of Kings. Or even...
Or the Abyss one.
Yeah, yeah. I forget what
it's
it is.
It's right over there. I can't
read it. Edge of the Abyss.
Again, it's right over there. We're not on camera.
But, it'd be neat to have an established campaign that takes you through all the games.
That would be fun.
Like the Star Saga mission.
Star Saga, Dreadball over there, Dead Zone, Firefight Warpath, bringing it all together into one huge campaign.
Because that's another thing that, like, Vanguard has, is the Kings of War hooks.
The hooks, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that there's a lot of fun stuff that they've got going on in their fantasy space that could really, fairly easily, I think it's easy to do. But I think there are things that they've already kind of got a taste of, like how that rule set could be implemented, could be ported over into our sci-fi space in a really fun, creative way. Because Dead Zone is already an awesome game to play.
Yes.
One shots of. Imagine a campaign.
I Like, so I think we need to do that again. Speaking of,
we need to do another.
I had a lot of fun when we did the campaign. I think we should do it again.
Yes.
But yes, having that over arc. That over arc campaign esque world, that story driven mode.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see an Ice and Iron for Dead Zone.
Yes.
The Vanguard expansion with that. It's very specific. And I don't care if it's Forge Father versus Enforcers.
Yeah.
Whatever story they want to go with, I think that would be perfect to do it like the Ice and Iron and have that. It's this faction. Especially if it was. Can you imagine with two brand new factions? That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Or even an existing faction that doesn't get a lot of play that's been revamped. Because remember, they did that whole revamp on the Veermen. So you take a faction like the GCPS. They're kind of weak.
Yeah.
And I've heard that from multiple different players and multiple different play groups. So like that would be something where... So you have this revamped GCPS. And they're going up against the Zors. Okay, that might be in my head that this is going on, but that would be a lot of fun.
You just really want to watch Starship Troopers again.
Apparently I do.
But no, like exactly. It'd be neat to have a revamped GCPS, maybe like an expedition
team.
Like one that is a frontier rather than a police force.
Going to some unknown planet in the third sphere.
Yeah, I want to write this.
I know, right?
And, but yeah, so that would be the big thing for me. Like, I feel like a lot of our rule sets is really good, just needs maybe just a little polish to finish it off and bring it all together in one place. I think is the only thing on the rule side of things that would be kind of nice.
I say a year. Yeah. I say another year.
Another year would be.
I think... Regardless of what they come out with this year, in my head, looking at where second edition came out,
which really wasn't that long ago in the grand scheme of things.
5 years?
I think so.
Because we've been playing for 4.
Yeah.
So it's somewhere in that 5 year. And I don't know, isn't there some game theory about the whole lifespan of a game?
Yeah.
When it has a second edition, when it has a third edition, blah, blah, blah. Regardless, in my head, where Dead Zone sits right now, with the Mazudon coming and the Astarion Strider coming, I think there's changes enough to keep us going for another year plus. But then, yeah, I think I maybe an Ice and Iron book. Hint, hint. Yeah. Somebody over Mantic, listen to us, please. I want an Ice and Iron.
Friends of the show, Mantic Games.
We can call out a few of you. Pat. And make it so.
But yeah,
fearless leader.
I think that would be really awesome. I kind of in the same boat where I think it's still a decent year out would be all right. The summer campaign stuff that they've done in the past was awesome.
I loved that website.
Yes,
that was so fun. Cool. That was so fun, and to have that in a book form.
Yes. So you can have that
be called Ice and Iron.
That campaign.
So
maybe even
this is my call. Oh,
yeah,
kind of like the mission builder for Star Saga.
Yeah,
that would be a blast.
Yeah. Anyway,
so maybe that's the call out to our fans and those of us that know us on Facebook.
Yeah,
try out some stuff.
Yeah,
use your imagination. Make some corny list with a Dreadball team. I mean, you have obviously Rob and Jack before us. They had their intel that's on the site. I want to say Arcana, but it's not.
Was it Apocrypha?
Whatever it was,
yeah.
It's on the site. And I'm sure Brian will edit this a little bit and make sure it's on there. But then you have like the Cobra and G.I. Joe stuff that me and Rob did.
Yeah.
You have the Georgie list that Coach did. The fan stuff, it's kind of Mantic, kind of not, but you also had that the Mars Attacks fans list. So these fans actually on...
Which had a Dreadball team too.
Yeah. I think actually, I can't remember if it's the Warpath or the Dead Zone, but it's the Warpath. Somebody did a... I think it's the Toe from 40K. Tau. It's 40K. I don't know what that is. They did a Firefight Warpath fan list for them.
Nice.
So, I mean, jump in there and have some fun. Mm-hmm. Get creative. What I think is really cool, go make a Star Saga hero. Merc.
Yeah.
Go use the character creator. Come up with a hero and then make a list around him.
Mm-hmm.
Make a whole faction around that hero. I think that would be a lot of fun. I'd say I think we should do that with our mercs, but we have so much going on.
Well, it's actually one thing I have been doing, because, like I said, I did the whole Sphere team before.
You did.
I have been working on an all-Rin Reb team. Using a bunch of the
I can't do that because I'm making a
mock-ups that I've cobbled together. Sphere.
But yeah,
that kind of stuff.
I think that kind of stuff would be a lot of fun. So we kind of focused in a lot on these are our thoughts on what's potentially coming in the whole Dreadball to Dead Zone factions.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't like boil down on a lot of stuff, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
One thing for Star Saga, though, that I wanted to bring up. If you're a fan of Star Saga and you're playing Star Saga, there are some rules in there that have been updated.
Hmm.
Over on Games Geek,
Board Game Geek
website, Brad Prawl, he's another one of the guys in the MMC here in Michigan. He's actually created a living FAQ for Star Saga.
That's awesome.
There's a lot of questions on there that he answers. Now I don't know if that's linked in the Facebook Fanatic site or not.
I'll see if I can get it there.
But if we can get a link on this, we'll have it on there for you. And of course, when we blast this out, that's a great tool for playing Star Saga.
Yeah. Especially since it is a bit more of a board game.
It is. So that's a perfect place for the FAQ for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited. So it's January.
Yeah.
First episode of 2020. It's funny because we've been testing our list for, we have a tournament tomorrow.
Yeah.
Dead Zone. 175 points.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited because regardless of whether we're odd or even, I'm going to play in this tournament.
Yeah.
He
doesn't get, for friends, you know, people that don't know, Rick does not get to play very often in tournaments.
And that's okay.
Yeah. Because he's running them more often than not.
Yep. And I enjoy that.
Yeah.
I do. I enjoy that part of it, but I kind of want to know how I do in a tournament because I've never played in a Dead Zone tournament.
Yeah.
Never. So that's going to be fun. Do we have anything else going on in January?
Well, we continued our Dreadball League.
Yep, we continued our league.
We got a couple games in. We had a blast playing with Jeff Burbage
last
time.
Yeah, because we had the Snowball, which ended up being a League in the Day.
Dreadball Ultimate League in a
Dreadball Ultimate, yeah. So we and played.
We played a couple of games of Ultimate with League rules in it,
which was a lot of fun.
It was two games. It was kind of all we had time for. But no, I mean Ultimate is always a blast by itself. And then it was really, really neat to do. Okay, we had our first game against each other. Everyone gained experience and stuff, and now we come back.
Yeah.
The next game with leveled up, and now it's a different
experience. So it also brought up something rules-wise.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had a situation where at the end of...
We had a tiebreaker.
We had a tiebreaker. I lost.
You had lost.
So I was out. I'm kicked out of the game. So my section shuts down on the ultimate board.
Yep. But Jeff had one of his guys in there with the ball.
And it was a Matsudon, wasn't it? He was playing Matsudon.
Yeah, he was playing Matsudon. And so, like, the problem became...
Because
like,
he had the ball, too.
He had the ball. So it's like, okay, normally the ball, like, when it hits the barrier, like, it stops. Like, it can't go past.
Yeah.
So what happens when it's already on the other side of the barrier, and it's, like, one of his remaining strikers or something like that?
It was something crazy.
It was, like, one of his better players was now stuck behind this wall, and it was like, okay, how do we handle this? I'm trying to remember exactly what we did.
I don't remember exactly what we did either.
We tried an interpretation. It was like, okay, as rules written, like, he can move. He had to move like first, because if he was in there too long,
it would be a foul.
It would be a foul.
And he's honorable. And he's honorable. So he couldn't foul. Purposely foul.
So like he had to move right away, but he was going to drop the ball, but it wasn't going to end his rush.
Yeah.
There was a whole lot that we had to figure out.
But you know that it brought up one of my favorite part about these games is you break a rule.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't matter because it's just you and me playing. So you interpret it this way, I interpret it this way. Screw it, we'll roll off.
Yeah.
I love that about these games that we play, that you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure it's in every single one of their books.
Something like that, yeah.
Or whatnot. But yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Our league, so four players.
Got in game three.
Yeah, we finally got game three in. And you're one and two? Two and one.
I've won twice, lost once. But Dom is in the lead in our league right now because he had two landslide wins, which gave him more league points.
And here's a shocker. One of those landslides was on me. Just for the record, I've lost both my games by landslides. And then my game against you was the only one that wasn't. I lost that one too.
You lost that one. And it was tragic on my end because my captain could not score the ball for his life.
But yeah, so 2-1, 2-1. I think all three of you guys are two. Is that right?
No. I beat Dom in our game against each other.
Okay, so you're...
So we've now played everyone.
Yep.
So now we're going to do the next round against each other.
Yep.
And then from there, we'll go to the playoffs. So it would be double elimination, I think.
Double elimination in the playoffs. And then we're going to do the best of three for the championship after the playoffs.
Yeah.
So
we're going to have some very experienced players.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
And I think I'm excited of the hobby aspect of this.
Because
it brings me into, I've painted my Zoras. I want a new team to paint. Let's hurry up with this league.
Hurry up the league.
Get some new players. Because I know we have another guy that on the MMC that we've been talking to.
Yeah, yeah.
That he'll be closer to you
from
your travel.
He expressed some interest in playing Dreadball in kind of our two... Like, when I move in April, I'll be right... we'll have both bases covered for him. So, looking forward to that. It should be fun. It's always nice meeting new... people that kind of put themselves out there is like, hey, I love to play these games.
Yeah.
Is anyone in my area? And if you're new to the games and you love to try any one of these out, like you've been playing Dead Zone and you're like, man, all that stuff those guys talked about Dreadball makes me really want to play it. Just go online, post on there. It's like, hey, I'm in this area. I just want to try it.
Yeah.
And they're... This game well, and I know, has been like, so awesome.
Like for us here in Michigan, I mean, if people haven't figured it out, we both bring ample teams, factions.
Yeah.
You don't need stuff.
It's one of the...
Come play with us.
It's one of the better we'll sides show of the, you it. The affordable gaming.
But I also know like John Jack does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Shane down in Shane Texas down in does Texas. The same thing. Coach, Family Game is 777 over in New York. They do the same stuff, and there's other Pathfinders around. The Fanatic site is the perfect place.
Got a buddy Taylor in Wisconsin.
Taylor in Wisconsin. Yeah. Now, admitted, he's more of a Walking Dead player, but he's been bugging me about Dead Zone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's been doing some Dead Zone stuff.
So, February.
Yep.
What do we got going on in February? Do we have anything going on?
Taylor does.
Taylor does, yeah.
Yeah. I got to look it up quick. Alright, so February 22nd, Taylor, our buddy, is going to be running Dead Zone from 9 to 5 at the Fire and Ice Convention in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So cool. if you're in the neighborhood over there, check it out. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is.
And it's always fun to get more people into the game.
So...
I heard it here.
I got to be honest. I think February, I have a really busy start to February because of some family stuff.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that February is going to be pretty quiet and it's going to be focusing a lot on prep because we have Adepticon 2020 at the end of March.
Oh, yeah.
Which means, at least for the two of us, for sure, we have Dreadball, we have Dead Zone, we have Vanguard, we have Doomball. Apparently, I'm going to be running a lot of Doomball. I know
a bunch of our guys are going to be playing Kings of War as well.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's going to be a huge, it's always a huge event.
It's huge. It's so many people we're going to meet.
Yeah. League of the Night as well.
Yep. League of the Night. What do you think? Think we got to bring the mic with us and maybe get some interviews in?
I'm going to have it with me. Yeah.
Sweet. I think that'd be really cool.
Yes.
Cause I know that Blackjack Legacy.
Oh, okay.
He is going to be... So, Andy... Andy Burbis.
Andy Burbis.
Is that how you say that?
Burtis.
Yeah. B's and D's! Yeah, yeah. Whatever. He actually posted that he's going to be at Adepticon this year.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he's got a huge following for Blackjack Legacy Tabletop Gaming Group. He's got 700 plus members over there. Obviously he's not Mantic specific.
Sure.
But he's one of those kind of people that are coming over to check out Adepticon.
Yeah.
I think that's my favorite part about Adepticon is meeting all these people. And let's face it, I have a dice box that I have all these people signing because they're rock stars to me.
Yeah, yeah.
They are my Hollywood rock stars.
Mm-hmm.
Meeting Coach, Ronnie, Pat, all of them.
John Jack.
They're all rock stars to me.
Because
I've only been in this hobby for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
I'm still a baby. I love it. So, yeah, we got an exciting next couple months coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm prepping for Adepticon.
Yep.
So
making sure our missions are good.
Yep, we've been practicing some of the missions that we're going to be working on. Those packets should be getting out here soon.
Yes.
As far as the mission list, and stuff like that.
I'll tell you, for all you Dead Zone players, you might want to bring a hacker.
It could
just come in saying.
Handy. It could come in
just
handy.
Saying.
Speaking of unrelated things, I know the episode's been going long, but we did have a unit highlight that I think we should get.
Oh, we did. Yeah, that's true. Oh man, I totally forgot about that.
We skipped right over the book's been sitting open on the page.
On the page, on that guy.
So we didn't mention it last time because we picked it after the fact.
Yeah.
But the unit that we decided to highlight this time was the Corporation Marine Sergeant for the GCPS. Now, this is the regular down-in-the-dirt Marine sergeant. He's shoots on 5, fights on 5, survives on 4. He's got armor, 1, size 1. It's 22 points, 2 victory points. Comes with a pistol and energy gauntlet. And then he's got a tactician 1 and recon 6. So it's a little not as 5. Fun. But Overwatch is one of the big things with him. So he's got like the longest description for
the thing is so
special
long.
Ability. But it is to describe a very specific scenario.
Yeah.
So what Overwatch is built for is when someone is charging into your cube to fight one of your guys, I think, do you require rapid fire?
Okay. So let's do this the right way.
Oh.
Overwatch. Spend an army special result when an enemy model moves into a cube containing an unactivated friendly model equipped with a weapon with the rapid fire ability. So, you're unactivated.
Yep.
You have rapid fire. Those are the first two pieces, and obviously you have somebody moving in on you.
Yep.
The friendly fire model may make a free shoot action with that weapon after the enemy model has moved, but prior to resolving a fight action initiated as part of the enemy's move action.
Mm-hmm.
So the model moves into your cube. Now, I know that there were a lot of questions about that part of it. Is mm-hmm. do I get that free shoot before he moves in on me? No, he moves in. He
moves in.
He's but you there, still get a free shot.
But you got the shot at him yeah. on the way. No clear line.
This shoot action is not modified for clear shot, high ground, or friendly fire. And it even links to the rulebook, page 20. But it is still modified by other bonuses or penalties, i.e. holosight, sniper rifle. This army special cannot be played on a friendly model that is in the same cube as an enemy model, other than the model moving into the cube. And the free shoot action cannot be used to fire for effect. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of funny because when you think of the guns with rapid fire,
mm-hmm.
the whole point of a rapid fire is so you can fire for effect. So yeah. that's obviously why that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to know that you can't
all those use modifiers.
It. Yeah, you can't modify it other than the holosight mm-hmm. and the sniper rifle.
Yeah.
But it's also really important to know that if you're moving into my cube and there's already one of your models in there, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is that first move.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very situational.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because of the way GCPS plays, I think this is a really important splat for them.
Yeah, because they're a predominantly fireline kind of team.
Yes. Right?
They you get your guys all lined up with your guns, and you just daka-daka-daka until the sun comes home. That and was a weird bunch of analogies rolled in.
Yeah, it was.
But so Overwatch is that really situational one, but it can be really handy to keep your guys from getting murdered in melee.
I think that's the big thing is because GCPS is not great in melee. In fact, they pretty much only have one big melee, mm-hmm. and that's their other leader, the Major General,
yeah.
with his sword.
Who still only fights on fives.
Yeah, they're not fighters.
No.
And they're not the superior shooters. They're not the Khaleesi.
No.
Not the Khaleesi, but the Marionneau. Cyphers.
The Cyphers?
Cyphers shoot on a three. They're like the best shooters in the game. I.e. another reason they don't need a Strider. So they're not the super greatest at shooting. They're mm-hmm. average.
Mm-hmm.
They shoot on a five. That's when you're rolling an eight, that's kind of right in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's right in there.
It's useful to keep you away from me.
Yeah.
That's kind of the whole point.
Yeah. We had a little mix-up
when yeah.
we played a game earlier.
Yeah, I'm playing my Maison Labs, and my faction, they have I can use a splat
Commander Graves
to give me a free shoot action for somebody that has a rapid-fire yeah. weapon. And I guess
the wires just kind of got crossed because
I knew we were planning this.
We were looking into this so much.
And I've been thinking about it the whole time. So, yeah. Man, when you jumped, I'm like, oh, splat!
And really,
wait,
you know, if that had been the case, my
it
guy would have
saved
died.
My butt.
My guy would have died.
Yeah.
On the way in. So, like, that can be a lifesaver for
oh, yeah, definitely.
A GCPS trooper to have that. And so, like, another thing with this guy, like, Overwatch is its own big thing.
Yes.
Which, again, kind of situational. But as far as the unit overall...
She's pretty cheap at 22.
Cheap at
22. And only two victory points?
Compared to the other two leaders, which are both 30.
Yeah.
So they're an extra 8 on top of it. But she comes with armor.
She's got leader, small arms, and light assault. So, I mean, she's got a decent amount of
options.
Oh, she has an energy gauntlet, too.
Yep. So she can knock
again,
back.
Again, it's that knockback. It's that get away from me.
And I was thinking, too, so Recon 6 is not great. But what is nice when all of your guys are range 6? To let the enemy come to
you first. Well, you also have aerial deployment.
Not that one, but...
GCPS, you have aerial deployment. So, if you look at it, and that Recon 6, okay, you're purposely losing recon.
So, use that to your advantage, is kind of the big thing I wanted to say on that point. Is like, okay, so don't expect to go first.
Plan for second.
Use that to your advantage. Make them come to you. use up all of their movement and everything like that. Oh, suddenly you're in range. Well, I just pop a guy up here, pop a guy up here. Suddenly we've got, you know, seven guns trained on you because GCPS are cheap.
Yeah.
You can almost hoard them as an army if you want. But yeah, I think it's another one of those where, as far as leaders break down to, as far as if they're more combat centric or ability centric, this guy I think lands kind of in the middle, where it's kind of decent abilities as far as combat strength.
Yep.
And that Overwatch can really, like, save your bacon.
Yeah, I think it really can. I think for myself, you know, it's funny. It's that progression in play, man.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about it that way with the recon six.
Yeah.
That, I think that's another one of those thinking outside of the box.
Yeah. You got
to
take
play
those
to lose, play to lose the advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are, I mean, when you're going up against like Veerman,
mm-hmm.
or Plague, I mean, almost everything's moving at 2-3.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hang back and wait. Yeah, come to me. So I can shoot you away. It works for me. But yeah, middle of the road. I like her. Him. Her?
Unclear. It can be
the Marine Sergeant. The Marine Sergeant. It sure can. All right.
Yeah.
So that's, so.
And you know, Tactician 2, pretty typical.
Hey, Tactician 2 is not bad.
The extra armor is nice for kind of a regular
yes.
trooper. In that respect, and surviving on 4,
oh yeah,
is solid. I mean, that's a Marauder commando with armor.
Yep.
In the grand scheme of things, my one thing is I would probably give them a rifle instead of the pistol. It's only like an extra 2 or 3 points, but then the sergeant there can also benefit from Overwatch and have range 6.
Yeah, I think I gotta make sure because.
Because a lot, pretty much all of those guys,
light.
All the GCPS leaders come with pistols as default.
Yeah.
There is that Frontiersman pistol, but that starts getting a bit more expensive than it's worth.
I mean, you could give her the carbine for 4, which is, it's got the rapid fire and it's got way to fire 1.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a good one for her. Yeah. Also, if you don't have that AP, you switch over to the thermal rifle. Which gives you an AP too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, that's 7 points. Still cheaper than the other two leaders.
But yeah, so it's still a great option, especially if you're looking to build out a big force to kind of combat
yeah.
the more kind of weaker parts of a GCPS force, where you just kind of like, all right, I'm going to emphasize numbers is going to be what I go for.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad way to play GCPS.
No, I think it's the perfect way to play GCPS because yeah. the numbers are what matter.
Yeah.
Lots of people.
So that's just some suggestions on how you could really use the Marine Sergeant. Actually, in my Gundam GCPS list,
yep.
I use a Sergeant as my Sergeant Bright, Noah,
yep.
who's known for slapping people is kind of why.
Perfect.
But yeah, so.
So I went ahead and I flipped.
You flipped?
While we were talking.
Okay.
So our next unit highlight.
Our next unit highlight.
Is going to be one of the Marauder leaders. So okay. as the one that's going into first, I mean, I've played a lot of Marauders. So mm-hmm. who do you think we should talk about? He's a go-to.
Yes.
The Commando Captain is a go-to.
Commando Captain is pretty solid.
Bolt is new.
The Bolt is new.
And then, of course, you have
the
these
Commando
two.
Sergeant.
So, you being the player that's coming into playing the Marauders, who do you want to talk about first?
Well, the Commando Captain and the Sergeant have been around for a while.
Yes,
like they've been the two options for Marauders for a
forever.
Long time.
Forever.
So, I feel like people have got a pretty good understanding
grasp
of them.
Of those two.
So... I kind of want to look at the Bolt. And
look at Bolts?
See what kind of contraptions and weird strategies we can throw together for that dude.
All right. So in February, we'll be talking about Bolts, the newest leader for the Marauders.
The living legend.
And an awesome little goblin. That's for you, Georgie. All right. So with that, I think that's going to cut us for today.
I think that'll wrap up for today.
It's been a great, it's been a fun conversation.
Yes.
I hope our listeners enjoy it as much as I've enjoyed talking about it, because the Dreadball Dead Zone mixing in. It's your fault. I'm starting to like Dreadball. It is what it is.
Yes.
All right. Well, I've been Rick.
I've been Brian.
And we'll talk to you next time.
Have a good night, everybody.
Bye. How long did we end up going?
We're at hour 41.
Almost 2 hours. We didn't even take a break.
No, we just kept going. I'll figure out some stuff.
Part of it's the whole that I quit smoking. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it with the whole smoking. We always and had these random breaks. Everyone
congratulate Rick on quitting smoking. He's doing a great job on that.
Yeah, breaks are kind of a... we don't need to. We'll just keep going.